on a saucer of tin? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with bread? Feed me a fork of frank and one more helping of tin. Lay it on nice and thin. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Iran is blaming U.S. policy for sectarian violence in Iraq. That in a speech today at the ongoing 60-nation Egyptian conference discussing stabilization of Iraq. The accusation may mean there will be no face-to-face talks between Iranian officials and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Yesterday, she met with the Syrian foreign minister. In Congress, Democrats say they're considering legislation to pay for the Iraq war through July. Money would be cut off in August if the Iraqi government failed to meet preset political and security goals. One U.S. soldier was killed, two wounded today when their vehicle hit a roadside bomb south of Baghdad. Five Iraqi policemen were killed, two wounded, in a roadside bomb attack in western Baghdad. The Pentagon releases a report today showing that a third of U.S. combat forces suffer from depression, anxiety, and acute stress. Also, a third approve of torture on behalf of the lives of fellow soldiers and Marines. In Afghanistan, authorities say U.S. forces have killed at least 70 civilians this week in the war against the Taliban. Anti-American demonstrations have been held in the past few days protesting those civilian deaths. In Kiev, Ukraine's feuding president and prime minister have agreed to hold early parliamentary elections. The announcement is aimed at ending the country's constitutional crisis. The World Bank and the UN say the Caribbean has now the world's highest murder rate. Violent crime threatens economic growth there, particularly because the region depends a great deal on tourism. The Colombian cocaine trade is being blamed. The FBI has joined the investigation into the L.A. Police Department's actions during this week's May Day pro-immigrant rally. Police broke up a peaceful rally with batons and rubber bullets, injuring scores. The U.S. Senate adopted a measure permitting lower-priced drugs to be imported from Canada and elsewhere. The bill is opposed by the pharmaceutical industry. President Bush has vowed a veto. Also on Capitol Hill, the White House says it will veto a House bill passed yesterday expanding hate crime laws to include violent attacks based on gender or sexual orientation. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and business are next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Italy has declared a state of emergency in some parts of the country as a result of drought. Italy experienced the warmest winter in 200 years. Earlier, the UK reported the warmest winter in 300 years. In Shanghai, Chinese authorities have arrested the general manager of one of the factories charged with selling poisoned wheat gluten to U.S. pet food companies. The additive found in the food is used in fertilizers and plastics. Unemployment rose to 4.5% in April. It's the smallest amount of new jobs added to the economy in more than 2 years. Microsoft is asking Yahoo to consider selling itself to the Seattle-based computer giant. Wall Street analysts estimate Yahoo's value at $50 billion. China announced it has discovered a rich oil field in North China's Bohai Bay. The country's National Petroleum Corporation says the field has proven reserves of more than 405 million tons of oil. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.10 a barrel, gold at $689.20 an ounce, and silver at $13.57 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 15 points at 13,256, NASDAQ up 7, S&P 500 up 4. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Well, hey, you got me for another hour, folks. For those of you who were here for Cup of Joe, welcome to Foxed Up here for a Friday morning on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, live once again, and something I something I did not get to yesterday, which I think is actually really important to get to. And I know I'm diving straight in, but I really think that this is important. And thank you to Gene for reminding me about this last night. If you caught the show on Monday when we had Mark and John on from the guys that designed our color scheme, and we were talking about greenness of computer companies, and we had the whole Apple debate, how they've been really taking a caning in the press. Slashdot, you know, all the online media has been linking to stories about the fact that Apple was atrocious when it came to, you know, their construction processes. You know, they weren't even making moves. And, well, there might be another side to this story. And this is one of the things that Mark was leading to on Monday. One, were people being more hard on Apple because they booked themselves, as I said, being very young and you know, groovy and schmick and with it and da-da-da-da kind of thing in their imaging? And he also said on the cutting edge of technology, which is probably closer to the point, was there an unfair expectation of them over all the other computer companies, even though they're not nearly as big as all of the PC market still, even though they're growing, was there an unfair expectation being put on them in comparison? And Mark said he's read all of the different companies' green, you know, proclamations, guidelines, you know, whatever you want to call it. And he said that they're all pretty well the same. You know, not much difference, and that included Apple. Well, from the Apple website, they have a piece here just called A Greener Apple. Apple has been criticized by some environmental organizations as not being a leader in removing toxic chemicals from its new products, and for not aggressively or properly recycling its old products. Upon investigating Apple's current practices and progress towards these goals, I was surprised to learn that in many cases Apple is ahead of, or will soon be ahead of, most of its competitors in these areas. Whatever other improvements we need to make, it's certainly clear that we have failed to communicate these things that we are doing well. It is generally not Apple's policy to trumpet our plans for the future. We tend to talk about the things we have just accomplished. Unfortunately, this policy has left our customers, shareholders, employees, and the industry in the dark about Apple's desires and plans to become greener. And they go on to say, get into things that they're actually doing. Now, I'd like to tell you what we are doing to remove toxic chemicals from our new products and to more aggressively recycle our old products. Removing toxic chemicals, lead. Many of the dangerous chemicals we all want to eliminate from the electronic products are found in very small amounts, but there's one toxic substance that some companies still ship around, still ship by the pound, and that's the lead contained in the cathode ray tube displays. A typical CRT contains 3 pounds, 1.36 kilograms of lead. In mid-2006, Apple became the first company in the computer industry to completely eliminate CRTs. The effect of this has been stunning. Our first CRT-based Mac contained 484 grams of lead. Our current third-generation LCD-based iMac contains less than 1 gram of lead. Apple completely eliminated the use of CRTs in mid 2006. A note of comparison: Dell, Gateway, Hewlett Packard, and Lenovo still ship CRT displays today. Cadmium, hexavalent chromium, and something I'm not even going to try and pronounce. The European Union is generally ahead of the U.S. in restricting toxic substances in electronic products. Their latest restrictions, known as ROHS, went into effect July 2006. All Apple products worldwide complied to ROHS. Our manufacturing policies had already restricted or banned most of the chemicals covered by it, and Apple began introducing fully ROHS-compliant products a year before the European deadline. Almost a year later, however, some electronics companies can only claim their products are ROHS-compliant because of certain little-known exemptions granted by the EU, blah, 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 blah. They're pulling out arsenic, mercury, polyvinyl chloride, bromated flame retardants, which is a big one. That's actually one of those really kind of things we don't talk about enough. I should do something on that at some point. Fire retardant. Big one. And it says, recycling our products, e-waste. Apple started recycling in 1994, and today we operate recycling programs in countries where more than 82% of all Macs and iPods are sold. By the end of the year, we figure the figure will increase to 93%. How successful are these programs? Currently, there's no industry standard way to measure the effectiveness of a company's recycling programs. Dell has proposed a simple measure. Assume a 7-year product lifetime and measure the percentage of total weight you recycle each year compared to the total weight of what you sold 7 years earlier. This makes sense to us and has added advantages to clarity and simplicity. And they show themselves somewhere about 28%. of past sales they've recycled. And I mean, this goes on in a whole bunch of details. Talk about the future, but after a while of reporting all these really heavy commentaries on Apple, I was, one, disappointed, and two, I was starting to get a little wary. Because, naive or not, that I think that unfair expectation that may have been thrown on them, I think also was still being held in faith that I thought that they would at least be doing as much as anybody else. And so far I've seen this thing have been commented on in a couple of places, and intelligent minds say it's good. So anyway, we're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up here for a Friday. It's Friday. And when it's Friday, that means it's Billy Shears, and that'll be coming up a little bit later in the show. So stick around. You're with Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it
and bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you.
Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We, the people, will stand with you.
Because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Foxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here for a Friday morning, and I You got to love it when a story is not only green, but it's Australian. And just give me a second here, because I have one version of it up, and I'm looking for another that I open. But it doesn't seem as though I do. But anyway, you may not know, and if you didn't, well, you just weren't paying attention. The national pastime of Australia is drinking beer. However, there's an assumption you may be under about Australians and their beer drinking that you would probably be wrong on. And that would be that we drink a thing called Foster's. Because we don't. None of us do. But the guys over at Foster's have come up with something pretty cool. Check this out. 2-kilowatt beer battery. This is off of EcoGeek, and I'm trying to find the other, which is a much longer story. It says, a couple of the breweries in my home, the guy here at EcoGeek writes this, Hank Green. A couple of the breweries in my hometown do their best to use their waste. Beer brewing waste can make good compost, and I've been happy to see that it's going on right here in Missoula. But Australia is taking their commitment to green beer a bit more seriously. Foster's has teamed up with some scientists at the University of Queensland to convert its brewery waste into electricity and clean water. The beer battery works by feeding the waste sugar, starch, and alcohol to microbes, which in turn get excited. Ooh, they get excited. And produce electricity. Are we getting the little guys drunk? Well, not exactly, but close enough. While the $100,000 2-kilowatt project isn't the most economically viable method of creating renewable energy, the project planners are quick to note that it's primarily a wastewater treatment that has the added benefit of creating electricity. How cool is that? Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. I got stuff on global warming and bugs. Well, not necessarily bugs, but well, two different insect stories. And I haven't even read this one yet. I just grabbed it because of the headline. And one of the things that happens as global warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it, begins to take effect is that seasonal changes start to shift their pattern. You know? And cycles all get messed around with. But I reckon that this applies to that. It says butterflies make early appearance. The hottest April on record has meant butterflies are hatching up to 2 months early. The charity Butterfly Conservation said butterflies have been emerging an average of a half a day earlier each year from the mid-70s until last year. But Richard Fox, surveys manager for the charity, said this year has blown all that away. We have lots of species coming out 2 weeks earlier than last year. Some a month or two months early. It's really a very dramatic situation. Now, what you got to think of is there are probably certain, I don't know, birds, larger insects, little reptiles and whatnot that probably breed and pop up at certain times, because these things are a source of food, and they pop up when those are abundant. Well, if they pop up two months early, these other species don't have their food source. And what other species could possibly be connected to that? The impacts. But it says it's just astonishing. It's a dramatic jump, and that's because we've had a very mild winter and an exceptionally hot April, and the butterflies are responding to that, said Mr. Fox. Mr. Fox. The warmer the weather, the faster caterpillars can grow and develop and turn into butterflies. Migrant butterflies, which would usually breed over the winter in hotter Mediterranean countries, have also started to survive the winter in the UK. The most dramatic example is the Red Admiral, said Mr. Fox. 20 or 30 years ago, it would have appeared as a visitor in the summer, but now they are surviving in huge numbers. So then you're going to have overruns. Oh, my! The National Trust has reported early signs of summer in the 8,800 hectares of coast and countryside it manages. Holy blue butterflies have been spotted in the Purbeck Estate in Dorset, and grizzled skipper butterflies have been seen at Fontmeldown in the Dorset-Wiltshire border, with bumblebees spotted as early as February. Bumblebees as early as February. That's nuts. At least they're seeing bumblebees. Jeez. Last month was the hottest April since records began in 1659. The month's final figure of 11.2 centigrade, 52.16 Fahrenheit, as measured by the Central England Temperature, CET, which takes into account daytime and nighttime readings, far surpassed the previous high of 10.6. So up more than a full degree Fahrenheit, actually, in 1865. Interesting. Interesting. And on more bug news... But see, this is the thing. This is where most people miss the understanding that, yeah, we think we run things, but we're entirely dependent on every other thing. But from the independent, here's the flip side of the bug issue and global warming. Malaria fear as global warming increases. It says global warming could lead to a return of insect-borne diseases in Britain, such as malaria, and increased incidence of skin cancer caused by exposure to the sun, a government report warns today. With the temperatures forecast to rise into the high 30s this summer, scientists fear Britain could be in line for at least one extreme heat wave before 2012. Tick-borne diseases are set to increase, along with the threat of other diseases associated with hotter climates. The report by a group of scientists for the Department of Health updates earlier warnings that climate change could see heat-related deaths rise to more than 2,800 a year in Britain. Heatstroke claimed the lives of nearly 15,000 in France in exceptional conditions in 2003. And today's report by the Department of Health warns that that could be a taste of things to come in Britain. The French deaths were caused by temperatures when temperatures soared to 40 degrees centigrade, but some forecasters have warned that Britain could be heading towards such temperatures as a result of the changing climate. Ooh. So, you know, you end up things shifting, and then suddenly you have mass populations of mosquitoes. I think is where the issue really gets scary. Really gets scary. Well. So we have the mosquitoes, we have the butterflies, and we have the bees. All three of those are all tied together. So anyway, we're going to head out to our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we're going to go to Mr. Billy Shears, because it's Friday. It must be Billy Shears. And he's got his part three on Billy Joel, and this is really, really good. I had to listen to this before, so excellent stuff. Thank you, Mr. Shears. And so instead of the track of the day, we do this thing. So when we come back to the break, We'll come straight into Mr. Billy Shears. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. And after we come, after that, we'll go straight to the phones. And so hang on there, mate. And you're on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Everyone interprets songs and lyrics differently. That's why it's so interesting to hear just what an artist had in mind when composing a song. One track that truly changed my perspective is Billy Joel's Vienna Waits for You. It speaks to one of the most cherished segments of our civilization. Well, at least it should be, and that's the elderly. He was asked specifically why he chose Vienna as a metaphor for the rest of your life. And here's his answer.
My father lives in Vienna now. My father moved back to Europe. Him and my mother split up. My father, I had to track him down. I didn't see him from the time I was 8 till I was about 23, 24 years old. He lives in Vienna, Austria, which I thought was kind of bizarre because he left Germany in the first place because of this guy named Hitler, and he ends up going to the same place where Hitler hung out all those years, you know. And I thought, this really got to love Europe to live here. Vienna also for a long time was the crossroads during the Cold War between the Eastern Bloc, between the Warsaw Pact nations and the NATO countries, was the city of Vienna. And what's his name? Orson Welles did a movie called The Third Man. Anybody ever see this movie? With that ding da ding da ding da ding. It was all about this, you know, spying, and Vienna was always the city. It was the crossroads. It was the crossroads between the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, and the Holy Roman Empire. Vienna was always a crossroads city. So the metaphor of Vienna, you know, has the meaning of a crossroads. So I go to visit my father in Vienna, and I'm walking around in this town, and I see this old lady. She must have been about 90 years old, and she's sweeping the street. I say to my father, "What's this nice old lady doing sweeping the street?" He says, "She's got a job. She feels useful. She's happy. She's making the street clean. She's not put out to pasture. You know, we treat old people in this country pretty badly. We put them in rest homes. We kind of kick them under the rug, and we make believe they don't exist. And, you know, let them worry about their health care benefits, and, you know, screw them. We don't want to pay any attention to them. They've had their day." Well, they don't feel like that. In a lot of these older places in the world where the culture is older than ours, they value their older people, and the older people feel they can still be a part of the community. And I thought, this is a terrific idea that old people are useful, and that means I don't have to worry so much about getting old because I can still have a use in this world in my old age. And I thought, Vienna waits for you.
Before we hear this wonderful track by Billy Joel, here's a humorous tidbit about the opening and closing piano part.
Now there's also a lot of inside stuff musically on that. So the beginning of it and the end. I don't know if you know of a composer named Kurt Weill, who wrote the Three Penny Opera. It's very Kurt Weill, I thought. I was trying to get that kind of sick, you know, middle European, kinky, decadent thing, you know. Money, 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 you know.
Yeah. Come, meine Liebchen.
You know, kind of. That's just, you know. But they're, you know, at least they're out front about it. You know, you go to England, the English are like, the English are all very proper. You know, they have their little umbrellas, and they have their little, you know, civil row suits, and then every night they go home and spank each other. Because it's so naughty, you know. The middle Europeans are out front.
Yeah, I am a kinky fellow, you know. With the patch on the eye, you know.
Now here's a live performance of Vienna Waits for You.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out.
You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Truth is told, you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Oh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you want to be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight. It's too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you can see where you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right. You're right. You got your passion, you got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Well, dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Billy Shears. How cool is that? And I swear that is that ranks up there as at least one of my favorite Billy Joel songs, if not one of my favorite songs of all time, actually. Kind of listening to it again, going, yeah, I mean, this album, that album is just, it's New York rock and roll all over the place. It's just, and you know, it's got all that kind of studio schmick to it that the New York stuff did. LA had a different studio schmick, you see. New York had its own studio schmick. And the arrangement, the lyric, that piano part. You know, my mother's a music teacher, and it was just, you know, every student wanted to learn to play that thing. It's just brilliant. And then to find out that it was like supposed to be kind of like a bit of a joke on something else. But it's gorgeous. Awesome. Well done, Mr. Shears. That is actually a really seminal album, that one, for me. It's unbelievably important, actually, now that I think about it. That album came out, 76? I'm not sure. Something like that. Because, something like that, 77 maybe? Or was it earlier? No, it wasn't earlier. But, you know, that album had been out a couple of years by the time... Ray says, I wish I knew what schmick was. You don't know what schmick is. It means kind of like shiny and perfect and purdy. Does that make sense? Oh, sorry. here I am in a daze. Sorry. You know what? Let's just blow out the last break. We're going to go straight to the phones. Steady's on line one. Hey, Steady Man. Sorry about that, man. I got on a tangent on music. How are you?
Good, good. TGIF to everybody out there in the horn and all foxed up on Friday. How are you, John?
Yeah, man. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. You know, just been. It's been a really crazy week, but yeah, I'm doing okay. How? Where are you?
I'm in Southern California and enjoyed a couple of days R&R in Mexico after not getting into the San Diego.
Oh, nice.
I went surfing in Mexico.
Uh-huh. I don't surf, but it sounds great.
You know, it was the first time I broke my leg 6 years ago, my femur, snowboarding, and I've really only been out in the water a couple times since then. I did lose my sense of being bulletproof, but I just, you know, I've been doing a lot of other things, and I actually got a chance to go out with a friend who I've surfed with since junior high, and he was actually a PSA pro.
All right.
He's just living the surf life. He's got a house down there in Mexico and comes up here to work and goes right back down to Mexico.
Isn't that a huge realization, though, when you have that realization that you realize that you're not bulletproof and you don't bounce anymore?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it came a few years behind, a few years too late. X Games have been getting their due, and our skateboarding and surfing and skiing, snowboarding genre that, you know, I won't say started in Southern California here, but this X Games thing certainly was accelerated in its growth out
right.
in the 70s. We really, the Dogtown Z-Boys and the Tony Alva and Powell Peralta, the skateboarding is getting its day now. It finally is, but that's because they can commodify it and build a ramp somewhere and set up cameras and make money on it. And the real spirit of the skateboarding. Pardon me.
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, like if you're talking about the fact that skateboarding has continued with its popularity, I reckon it has the same kind of thing that basketball does. Any kid in the city doesn't need much, and he can do it. And then you just have to become good at it. You know, like, you know, to play basketball in a city, you need a ball and go down to the local court, you know, as opposed to playing, you know, like golf or hockey that takes tons of money of gear and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like, it's a working man's kind of thing.
Yeah, how can a laboring man find time for self-culture?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what are you doing at the moment?
I'm just getting ready for the day's events. I was up kind of late watching the reviews of the Republican debate and taking in the news this morning. I got a stack of CDs from Integrity Music when I was in Mobile, Alabama, and I'm just going through those right now. There's a new one called...
All right.
Release It. Yeah, I had this stuff I've been listening to it now for over a week, 2 weeks. Freedom, Sound of a New Breed. It released May 1st this year, and it's gospel, urban, contemporary music, but I got to tell you, it's good to hear the young kids and the label coming out with these live recordings that are just super quality.
Right on.
Yeah, it was a musical mecca for me, if you will, or a religious pilgrimage to actually get to Integrity Music in Mobile. I've been playing their sheet music and listening to their stuff with the choirs and music groups for 15 years. And again, May 1st, interesting May Day. I was in Mexico for May Day. May 1st was a 20-year anniversary for Integrity Music, and I just really... I'm sitting here, John, completing 2 months of heading to the Gulf State region and getting ready to go to work for a job that I got as I left.
Oh, did you get the gig?
I did get the job. I'm going to Rhode Island.
Excellent. Excellent. Actually, there are questions being posed in the chat about that. I was supposed to ask you. But,
good
hey, man, you said that you were... You were reviewing stuff from the Republican debates, and I was having to look at some of the footage that was out there, and there was this bit of footage, and it was really short, and I don't know if you had seen any more of it, but where the moderator asked about those that whether they believed in evolution or not, with a show of hands. Did you see that?
I didn't see the shot of each one answering it, but I did hear Ariana Huffington comment on.
Three of them stuck their hands up saying they didn't think it existed. But then the clip that I came across, it was, you know, 3.5 seconds, and it was thanks. You know, he could have given me a reaction, and especially someone, it was a bad shot. I couldn't tell who was in it, and said, "Can I elaborate on?" And that's where it stopped, and it was just like, "Oh, thanks for nothing."
Yeah, you know, when they're breaking off into these side categories, the real deal here is not whether you believe in evolution or the science behind it, and whether or not you're a creationist and you say it should be Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve, and a religious hardliner if you want, or even a right-wing neocon. Right now, the issue on the table at every level of politics is how are you going to take care of your population. And how does your behavior address and affect the population around you? And that's directly proportional to the level of government that you're talking about. We've got problems with the United States domestically and internationally, but how do we address that? Whether you believe in it or, you know, the debates are just...
It needs to be addressed. And we're not having the conversation with, again... You know, we've been saying this for a couple of years. You know, we're not having the conversations we need to be having. We're having conversations that keep us from the conversations we should be having.
Yeah, it's like, you know, jockeying for position for certain sizes of administrable voting blocks, which then could be all pooled into the same person that will rubber stamp the, you know, the ticket for the Republicans or the Democrats. I mean... No one, you know, it's like when they want our opinion as citizens or constituents, they figure they'll give it to us, and most of them, you know, accept that.
I am actually totally with you there. You know, when it comes to the fact that both sides are fairly bought and sold, you know, by a lot of the same interests that the Republicans are. But I think that at the moment, I think we got to just, you know, drop all that for a week and actually stand right up, you know, right behind the Democrats at the moment, because they've actually, with even though it was a non-binding kind of wimpy bill, Bush has now made himself look like an ass by vetoing it. So it's time. It actually is one of these moments where we got to, you know, stand up behind them and say, you know, we got your back, and just tell this little idiot no. Tell him he can't do this anymore. And I think that is the. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we're going to get the supermajority. It might not come on the first round here, but. The tide's turning in the population. I mean,
well,
it's just.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt.
The wars. It's not something people want to see into another presidency. They want some answers before they go and vote another president, and someone takes over that stuff. That's an obvious situation that no one's bringing up.
I was having a similar observation. About the situation that, you know, because we now are running into that situation where, you know, Bush obviously just wants to, regardless of anything else, make this go into whichever Democrat. Because, I mean, I have no idea who's going to get the nod for the Democrats, but you look at the Republican pool, and they're actually, you know, killing themselves.
Yeah, we got 10 candidates on one this side and 10 candidates on the other. Is it going to be Mayfield or De La Hoya. Mayweather, excuse me, it's so commodified, so Hollywood, it's so wrong. It's just
there's that, but it's so shallow.
Yeah,
I mean the pool is very, very shallow. There's not much there.
10 deep and less than 10 inches. You know, deep.
And the fact McCain is the big brain, amongst a lot of them is pretty frightening. Because, you
Which
know,
who is that?
I mean, I've heard a few people recently say, you know, wasn't he too old in 1980?
Well, we might need some of that gray hair, man. If there are any wise men in Washington, let them form their own committee and provide counsel.
But I was watching that interview with him and Stewart, and you know, I'm really starting to wonder if the guy's starting to buckle. You know, if he's starting to lose it a bit, because seems really off his rocker to me.
Yeah, on the note and the spirit of what went down last night, running against John McCain in Arizona is our friend Leonard Clark. And this Not For Sale campaign is something I want to get off the ground, so maybe I can publicize that as we're coming. You know, I don't know. I know we're getting close to the top of the hour.
So you got about 30 seconds. I was about to say.
Okay, anybody listening who's a candidate at any level and they're for the people, make your campaign sign in 08, Not For Sale. That's my word of wisdom for Friday.
Hey, I like that. Is this some sort of organized thing that's already off the ground? Does it have to do with changing campaign finance?
Not at all. Just a campaign slogan that I'm bringing home and out onto the airwaves from the Gulf. Not For Sale.
Just Not For Sale. Right.
For sale.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Well, thank you, Steady Man. We got to let you go.
TGIF, everybody. Love you. Thanks, John.
All right, man. Take care, bud. And that was our good friend, Steady, finally back home in California. And we're wrapping it up for the weekend. And Jeff Allen Wolf coming up next. Thank you to Agnes for producing Foxed Up today. Good to have you back for a bit. And thank you to Mr. Billy Shears for his contribution today. Thank you to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Thank you to our mods, our bloggers. Thank you to Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions for the new strings. We had a guitar stringing party last night. It was really good fun. I would suggest having one. Anyway, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
Than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions and laughter, anger, and let's if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
tell you that I pooped in my own dogfish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. Or more pointedly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that I...
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
The president has a new nickname. Top officials say Bush can still wiretap U.S. citizens without warrants. Bush fails to make Time 100. Readers put him at 97. Democrats on impeachment says Cheney's arrogant abuse of power must stop. Bush chuckles at Iraq's success, says either we'll succeed or we won't succeed. Ex-Gonzales deputy heard rumors of